Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well. Yes. And still in the business of solving all the problems of the world.
Exactly.
At least to satisfy my own conscience and maybe do a little bit of good now and then.
Let's hope.
That's at least a goal that we have. We have a noble goal, but everybody has a noble goal, you know, when you think of it. All the humanitarianism that's going on and the compassion and taking care of the children and why we have to go into so many countries and save them from their dictators while we use our own dictatorship. Anyway, I want to talk about what's going on at the border of Colombia and Venezuela. Mm-hmm. There was an incident there. It sounds like the so-called good guys wanted to feed the starving people of Venezuela. And they happened to be endorsed and supported by the president that we appointed, you know, out of clear blue, Guaido. He's their president. But the original president that was elected, he doesn't count anymore. So we're there, and it looks like, Guaido wants to feed the people, and along comes, but Maduro doesn't want it.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the truck gets blown up, and the food burned, you know. So it didn't work. They didn't get the food in there. And now it's just sorting it all out. But the blame, of course, to accelerate the conflict there, we have to blame Maduro, because he's starving his own children, starving the people, gassing his own people, cliche, of course. But it seems like this recording has been played once before. And I think they're trying desperately to accomplish the complete coup. And they're running up against a little bit of a resistance, because we just declared out of the blue, well, we don't like that president. We're going to appoint Guaido, and he's a constitutional president, and the constitutional argument doesn't hold much water.
Yeah.
Even if he wanted to stretch it. But anyway, there has been this effort to try to finally get rid of Maduro, and so it involves an oil and feeding this children and all these things. But this, of course, we lean toward believing this is a false flag, you know, that it was done not by Maduro, but by Guaido people that wanted to make it look like it, frame the people. You know, it reminds me about some of the things that go on in our electoral process. Frame them up. Tell them that they're, close allies of the Russians and blame somebody and that sort of thing. So anyway, we'll try to sort that out today and find out who started the fire.
Yeah, and this weekend was the big showdown. It was a week ago that the U.S. selected president of Venezuela, announced that he was going to take a big, massive group of people, hundreds of thousands, go over there to Colombia and get that aid that the U.S. was just trying to simply give to the Venezuelan people. He was going to lead the charge. He was going to be the president and lead the masses to get the aid. The thing is that nobody followed him. There wasn't anyone followed. Nobody came. And it really was essentially a failure, and so there were some provocations. And now you'll see in the mainstream media, they may change their tune, but they'll say that, Maduro, he couldn't block the aid, so he burned it up. And actually, there's some video that shows that story is a big question. First of all, there were the Venezuelan military and where the aid was were very, very far apart. So they never, the aid was in Colombia. So actually, we have a video that will roll that's been going around, probably not on the mainstream media, but the opposition, pro-opposition guys were making Molotov cocktails and throwing Molotov cocktails over toward the Venezuelan security officers, military officers. And you can see here's where one went over there, right onto the truck. And then the next thing you see, the truck burning. So it was an errant Molotov cocktail that the pro-opposition groups had thrown, and looks like it caught it on fire. In fact, we have another picture of the, here's some opposition guys right next to the freighter with the food on it, with a gas can pouring gas on it. So it's kind of hard to pin this on Maduro's military, when you've got this kind of
right.
this kind of evidence.
You know, when operations like this don't go well, or any military operation doesn't go well, you change your commander. And right now, they have a question: who is the commander? At least Guaido needs some help, but
yeah.
the help is coming. So be aware, Pence is on his way, and he's going to go down there, and he's going to orchestrate this, show him how to, you know, pursue the activities, and maybe a little bit of sabotage here and there. So we're not giving up yet. Our government's not giving up yet, but it's something that obviously is not going to go away soon. But I would say, this weekend was not a big benefit to Guaido.
No, and he was nowhere to be seen, really. He was there the night before at this concert that Richard Branson put on, that was the Washington Post. They had 200,000 attend the concert, and then they actually showed some drone footage and nobody was there. So even the Washington Post had to pull down that. He was there that night at the concert, but he was not really anywhere to be seen when it came time to lead the charge. But, you know, we both were looking at a good piece in Moon of Alabama today, and I think you were looking at some of the things that they said that was supposed to achieve and didn't really achieve.
Yeah, that's right. They, you know, first off, they were going to set it up so the United States could allow the flow of weapons to the good guys,
yeah.
you know, in order to overthrow the government. Their other goal was to have a lot of defections, have the military defect and the police defect, and have this uprising. And that doesn't seem to have occurred. And they wanted to make sure that the people were knowing that they were having a lot of support. But all in all, they were doing all these things. But the ultimate goal was to say, you know, our last test, send in the troops, send
yeah.
in the military, send into the, you know, thousands of troops. They may well do it, but for some reason in my mind, I don't think that's going to happen. In my estimation of how Trump operates, I think he's not going to give up. But I just can't see him landing troops in that country. I don't think that's part of his personality. He has strong desires and strong demands and wants things changed. But I may be absolutely wrong on that. I hope I'm not wrong. At least he won't send in 20,000 troops,
yeah.
and you know, to show who's boss. But they're not going to give up, because they're going to continue to try to take over and destroy anything that Maduro is in charge of.
And you can only imagine what the neocons are whispering in Trump's ear. This is going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be super easy. Don't worry. We name this guy. It doesn't matter that no one's ever heard of him. We'll name him president. The whole place will fall like a house of cards, and it'll be a great victory. Well, it's not working out that way. They were not able to breach the border. They were not able to get the aid supplies in. Well, of course, you won't see in the mainstream media is there was just a huge shipment of Russian aid that landed in Venezuela. So aid is getting in. The UN is sending in aid. They just don't want aid from the U.S. There was a handful of relatively low-level defections from the National Guard, I think about 30.
Mm-hmm.
But that is nowhere near critical mass. And now Guaido has left the country, despite the court ordering that he remain in the country, taking his passport. So he's kind of stuck now. He can't even get back in. So he's almost kind of like the Ahmad Chalabi of Venezuela, you know, self-proclaimed leader, but he doesn't even have a leg to stand
well,
on.
Well, it looks like Trump's team is not invincible. You know, we had we have Pompeo, who's certainly involved. He wants to blame the Cubans for all of it.
Yeah.
And we have Rubio. He's already been down there preaching revolt and war and this sort of thing. And that's not going all that well. So, you know, whether it's Bolton or Pompeo or Pence or Rubio, it's a team that is, you know, not exactly representing what I believe is the majority desires of the American people.
Yeah.
If they had all the information. But even with the amount of information they have now, I don't think if you went out and honestly asked the first 1,000 people you met on the street, well, do you think it's a good idea if we continue to get rid of Maduro and invade that country to do it because he's a bad guy? I just don't think, I think they're going to stop and pause and say, what are we going to do that for?
Yeah, but the propaganda does work, and the theme is he's starving his own people.
That's
starving
it.
His own people. It's just what they did with Gaddafi. And it works. People think, you know, and in fact, you know, Max Blumenthal, who's done some great work down there, he went in, he was touring some of the grocery stores down there, and the shelves weren't empty. You know, they had a bunch of stuff in there. So it's once again, it's like the babies from the incubators. But speaking of Rubio and Gaddafi, he got into a little bit of hot water yesterday because he tweeted out a picture of Gaddafi in his glory when he was ruling and a big smile on his face. And then next to it was Gaddafi covered in blood. He had already been sodomized with the bayonet and shot. And basically, this is a warning to Maduro. This is going to happen to you. And it boomeranged on him because people just really saw this was over the top. And plus, if you're looking for examples of U.S. liberations to being success, Libya is hardly one of them, you know, with open slave markets, chaos, terrorism.
Well, of course, they could call Hillary back in action and have her do a little bit of cheerleading, which was rather sickening. But, you know, another thing that caught my attention that I think is pretty important, and that is the fact that it's been said, and I think it's pretty accurate, that we get involved in countries much easier if they have something that we want. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's oil. So it turns out that Venezuela has oil, and probably more than a lot of people, and it's significant. But Citgo, I'm always amazed about this. We talk about socialism, but there's a fascist tinge to it because the state oil company is Citgo, and they have, I think their headquarters is in Houston, you know. Yeah. But right now, of course, since this skirmish is between the two factions has been that we have canceled the orders and they owe us money and we're not going to let this happen. So it's in limbo. But Guaido, he's not giving up. He appointed a whole new board of directors.
Yeah.
He said, this is the board of directors, and we're going to give the orders, and we're going to straighten this out. Some say it'll end up in the courts, but, you know, sometimes courts respond to might over honesty and justice. But I thought of this as, you know, we go in and we take stuff. And I think of it almost like foreign asset asset forfeiture. We go in, okay, we'll take that. You're a bad guy, but you've been using this oil money, so it's an asset forfeiture. Besides, you owe us a little bit of money. And I think, well, you know, it's just this whole idea that if this were true, what I'm saying, and I believe to a degree it is, that's massive compared to how outrageous we felt about, you know, the drug dealers stealing equipment worth $20,000, $100 million, you know, millions of dollars of stuff. This is involved in owning an oil company. You say, oh no, we're just going to give it to the deserving president, you know, Guaido. But he's not the deserving president. He's our stooge. You know? But anyway, the oil is still in play, and that's probably what the bottom line is going to be.
And one little interesting tidbit on Guaido as the interim president. According, we use this Article 233 of the Venezuelan Constitution, which we're out there enforcing, saying that the office was vacant, which of course it wasn't because Maduro was sitting in it. That is a justification for naming Guaido as the president. But even if you want to take that at face value and say, okay, we'll let that slide, Article 233 is very specific. The interim president, which is what Guaido was, according to the Constitution, is only the interim president for 30 days while he is organizing an election. Well, those 30 days have passed, so even if we're using 233, the guy's no longer the president. He has even called for elections. So.
Yeah, and we look at these things for the at least a pretense about following the law, and the law is important. And there's an international sentiment at times that will pick sides. But the truth is power is pretty strong in deciding these issues. And, of course, we have the power, and we have the economic power, and we've tried to starve the children already. You know, we're the ones that interrupted and put on the sanctions. Sanctions and caused, yes, they had a lousy system. They were more socialistic than we are, and they were having troubles, and they had a bad guy. But the whole thing is it isn't just been a year that we've been doing this. We've been doing this for quite a few years. And, of course, we went through this with Colombia, and we finally got token ownership of Colombia. That's why we're there and staging the operation in Colombia. They have no choice because they've done what we told them. And, you know, the rule is if they do what we tell them, we take care of them, we give them money. If they don't, we'll get rid of you and we'll bomb your country. And we'll pretend that we're humanitarians. How often do I see the term humanitarians? We have to have a compassion for the children. It's always for the children. And it's all based on lies, lies told to the American public so that they can get energized to go to another war. But I think the sentiment is shifting. Even in the Congress, there's been a few votes showing the sentiment is shifting, but I don't think the American people ever were super supportive of these wars. It was just that, and you mentioned it, the propaganda is a powerful tool, and we certainly witnessed that in the early part of this century in the move toward getting into the Middle East. We had to get the terrorists. The terrorists are there, and that's why we have to torture people. They never said, we have to endorse torture because they're suspects and they might know something, which was basically the issue. They say, we have to torture. Why would you care about torturing terrorists?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So it's something that is not going to go away in this next week. This is not going to be settled. And I think a lot more people are going to suffer. Unfortunately, the people who are going to suffer the most are the ones they preach the loudest and pretend the most to really care about. And I think that's all a facade.
Yeah, indeed. And so the question is, will the U.S. escalate? I think they will. I don't think Trump is going to do any pushback. It hasn't succeeded thus far. Unfortunately, this is for everyone who's attacking socialism of Venezuela. This is the U.S. approach is a pretty socialistic approach, you know, using big government and big military to go over there and put pressure on Venezuela. Certainly a free market approach would have been better, would have been having no sanctions, engaging Venezuela and demonstrating the value of free markets to the Venezuelan people. Unfortunately, that was ruled out by our government, by our socialism, and I guess that doesn't count. I'll just end by saying tomorrow we're going to make an announcement on our Houston conference, another Save This Space, Save the Date, May 18th in Houston. It's going to be exciting. We'll have all the details. We'll make a little video tomorrow and give some more details.
Right. Now, one of the goals for this episode and demonstration and at the Colombia-Venezuela border was to make Guaido look good and get the people behind him and get foreign support. And that would require just making Maduro look much, much worse. He's killing and starving his own children. And at the same time, build up Guaido. Well, we would give them a D- on what they achieved. They really didn't achieve much, thank goodness. And that can hardly be construed that we have picked sides and decided that we support Maduro. We support non-interventionism. We support staying out of it, that it is not our business. We can have a personal, moral choice about who you might cheer for. And people, if they want to, if they're from Venezuela and they want to volunteer and go, I'll say, go do what you want. But don't incorporate the idea that we should tax people here in the United States and draft people and take an army and send them down there and pick sides. Because right now, I would prefer a much better government than either side would provide. But the one rule about non-intervention is that if governments stay out of other people's countries, the people there will be required to solve their problems, and there's much better chance of devising a system where they would get along if they settle their differences rather than the outsiders. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.